Welcome back to the second part of Indie Radio News. Thank you, Linda, for that first. Thank you, Lydia, for that first part on Puerto Rico. Now we're opening up with the Me Too movement. Today, people from all across the country left their workplaces and schools at 1 p.m. in solidarity with survivors of sexual assault, Christian Blasey Ford and Deborah Ramirez, who have recently come forward with sexual misconduct allegations against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. The organizers of this movement encourage people to dress in black and use the hashtag #BelieveSurvivors. To talk more about this movement and also about the nominations in sexual harassment, we have a special guest here in the studio, Linda Martin Alcoff. Thank you, Linda. Linda is a professor at CUNY and author of various publications, including Rape and Resistance, Singing in the Fire, Tales of Women in Philosophy, and she is co-edited with Feminism, Sexuality, and the Return of Religion. Linda, I would like to start talking about your recent publication in The Independent, an article that's titled Kavanaugh, Ford, and the Best Case Scenario for Accusers of Sexual Assault. In this article, you talk about a driving force behind the Me Too movement and also the parallel is that it's a risk of being that this reality is in risk of being twisted and distorted once it actually comes out in the world. Can you talk a little bit about how this has played out in the case of Christian Blasey Ford since she first came forward with her allegations about Brett Kavanaugh?
Well, what we're watching is, you know, I think the best case scenario of a survivor coming forward and making an accusation, because her accusation has been taken seriously. She has a team of excellent lawyers. The mainstream media has done investigation. They've even asked feminists to write op-ed pieces in major press around the country. And yet, within 36 hours, she has to leave her home because she's experiencing, you know, serious, credible death threats. So I think despite the fact that, you know, Blasey Ford and Kavanaugh are from kind of a rarefied class of people in the United States of America, these, you know, elite sort of private schools, the experience that she describes is one that I think is, you know, very common for a lot of people. And the behavior that he has been alleged to engage in is also very common. So people are watching to see what happens. And in the beginning, I think Trump tried to moderate his statements and not come off too negatively toward her and make distinctions between today's response and the response to Anita Hill. But right now it's beginning to look like 27 years ago without too much of a difference in the way that they're preemptively discrediting her, really without any evidence.
One of the things that today that was talked about in the protest in City Hall and the rally was the way people, well, not people, Kavanaugh's crew is questioning that how come she was silent for so many decades and sort of delegitimize her statement just because she didn't come up from the beginning. Can you talk a little bit about why people who are survivors of sexual aggression don't file more police reports and why there's a high percentage of people who come out many years later?
Yeah, it's the most underreported sort of crime in the United States. And I think what we have to realize about the silencing is that it's structurally caused. It's not just the psychological trauma that produces individuals' incapacity to report. There's a structural cause of the silencing because too many victims believe, because of their identity, their female identity, or some other form of identity, that they're not going to be believed, that they're not going to be seen as credible, and also that their suffering is not taken seriously yet in the society. Like, why can't you just get over it? And so then, to the extent they do have trauma for sometimes decades, as I did, that suffering is seen as self-caused. if too much of the general public sees this as not really a significant form of harm in a person's life, then how do you explain the fact that people have PTSD for so long? You have to explain it in some ways as self-caused, and nobody wants to have to deal with that. And it ties into long legacies of ideas about women's emotional incapacities and tendency toward hysteria and, you know, weakness in variety of ways. So there's a ready-made narrative framework here that's very long-lasting, has not been critiqued or unearthed enough, and that is ready to come into play when people like Orrin Hatch say she's mixed up.
Right. And it's interesting because we're seeing, especially today, we're seeing a lot of different movements that are coming out and supporting and asking for a testimony, and even this third possible person who might come out also accusing Kavanaugh. And I guess in general, I would like to know, I would like to ask about your reaction to the women who have been upset by the Christine Blasey Ford, how she's been treated by the Senate Republicans and by Trump, and who are now taking the streets. Sort of how you evaluate that reaction.
Well, I think that this does go way beyond Kavanaugh's nomination and what happens with Blasey Ford. You know, Trump's going to appoint another terribly conservative nominee. This is not going to end well.
That's not very hopeful.
Of the Supreme Court. Well, I think that the hope is that. Is that what we're really fighting over here, and what I think has galvanized the public imagination is not just this single case, but the response to accusations in a more general way, and the right of speech, the right of survivors to tell their stories and to give their analysis of what happened to them, not just to tell the first person story, but their analysis of their perpetrator's culpability and the causes of what happened. So what, you know, we're really fighting over here is a much larger struggle over the terms of speech. Who can speak, what they may speak about, who's going to be given presumptive credibility over who. And I think the other thing is, you know, the institutions. What Me Too has really shown in the last year is that this is never about individual jerks. They have an army of people who are enabling them, protecting them, absolving them.
Like a movement,
yes.
Some would say.
You know, in every institution, the military, Hollywood, the church, and the media and so on and so on. This is really, we need to think about the institutional conditions that have silenced victims, right?
Right.
And that gets at women's ability to work in all kinds of environments in our society and to have a voice on their job.
Well, we have a few more minutes left, and I wanted to sort of ask you about the latest updates of a third accuser. What do you make of this latest allegations from a second accuser, as well as accusations by Michael Avenatti that he has information about this third person?
Well, I think that it looks to have, you know, presumptive credibility. You have accusers who do not know each other, who did not know each other prior to this. And I think with other cases where you have multiple accusers who do not know each other, I think that adds to their credibility. I think the best thing would be for an investigation to occur to try to get some further information about Kavanaugh's past. So I think there's presumptive credibility. I don't think that means that necessarily every single accuser's case is going to be credible, but there's so few that are engaging in actual manipulative behavior because the costs are so incredibly high,
right,
to come forward. So you have to really look at what the motivations are. Kavanaugh has huge amounts of motivations to lie. Blasey Ford has huge amounts of motivations to be silent, but she wasn't.
Right, and then that's sort of where everything comes in, that what are the motivations to come out? Because people are, there's no real benefits in coming out except for everything we're seeing that she's coming across. Well, thank you so much, Linda, for joining us today in studio. And I know this is a topic that we're going to be talking about for sadly, for a while. And thank you. Thank you for sharing your opinion. You can find her articles on independent.org. That's independent with a Y.
Thank you all for listening. You can catch us every Monday at 6 p.m. right here on WBAI 99.5 FM for all the latest from indie radio news. You can find this month's print edition of The Independent at our outdoor news boxes across the city and in local libraries, independent bookstores, and social movement centers. Follow all our coverage online at independent.org, that's indie with a Y, and via social media. To let us know what you think of today's show, send news tips, or find out how to subscribe to The Independent Print edition, we can be reached at 212-904-1282 or contact at independent.org. Thank you so much to WBAI for hosting our show, and we'll see you next week.
Building bridges your community and labor report. From your workplace to your neighborhood, listen to the show that brings it all together. Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. Bringing you news and analysis, local, national, and international. Monday nights, 7 p.m. We build bridges.
Come on, neighbors. Let's get wise.
So, the plaster is falling, the paint is peeling, the plumbing is leaking, the heat and hot water keep cutting off, the elevator keeps breaking down, and the landlord won't return your calls, but the rent keeps going up and up and up?
Find out what you can do about it. Tune in to Housing Notebook, Mondays at 8 p.m.
Reactionary landlord.
It only happens once a week. Monday evenings at midnight.
I wish they'd hurry up with that transmission. I want to go finish. I suggest that you reach deep down inside yourself there and try and find something that'll keep you awake just a little while longer, because this transmission coming up may just rekindle your will to live.
Here on listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM, the name of the show, Night Shift, Monday nights, midnight.
Midnight.
Midnight, here on WBAI.
Hi, this is Nando Alberici of Con Sabor Latino here on WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM. Please join us Sunday, November 18th at SOB's for WBAI's annual Salsa Explosion fundraiser. Performing in our benefit fundraiser are world-class musicians such as Johnny Dandy Rodriguez and his Dream Team, Bobby Allende and Ocho y Mas, Charanga Pacha, Anthony Carrillo, Amy Millan and Jambawa, Luisito Quintero, Robert Quintero, and Salsa Project. We will also present Con Sabor Latino Lifetime Achievement Awards to Martin Cohen,